He looks determined without being ruthless. Something heroic in his manner. There's a courage about him. Doesn't look like a killer. Comes across so calm. Acts like he has a dream. Full of passion.
You don't trust me, huh?
Well, you know why.
I do. We're not supposed to trust anyone in our profession anyway.
Peace, 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 and welcome to The Rematch, which is part of the BasketballNews.com podcast network. On The Rematch, you'll hear in-depth interviews with notable names from all walks of life. Because sometimes the media just doesn't get it right. The Rematch is that second opportunity to clarify, put things in proper context, correct fake news or misreported controversy. The media still exists as the most powerful entity on earth because they control the minds of the masses. I'm Matan Thomas, and the full truth is what we are aiming to catch. Many media stories omit details that would dilute their clickbait roar, and that's why there's a need for The Rematch. Today on The Rematch, I sat down with Enes Kanter Freedom. We discussed his U.S. citizenship, his very public stances against China and Nike, his publicly challenging LeBron, and his appearance on Tucker Carlson. He had a lot to clear up that has been misconstrued from that interview. This was a great discussion. Hope you enjoy.
Mr. Enes Kanter Freedom, how you doing, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Thanks for coming on the show, The Rematch, BasketballNews.com and Fly TV. You're now an American citizen. So let's start off right there and tell me how that feels.
It feels amazing. Obviously, the last 6 years been rough. Just because of, what I'm going through was made this, citizenship so special because obviously some of the things that I talk about, my name was on Interpol list and, the Turkish government revoked my passport. Mm-hmm. And it just, the last, 6-7 years, I was pretty much stateless. I did not have any place to call home. So that's why, to me, that moment was very emotional to me. And it just, I was speechless.
Now, explain a little bit more detail what happened to you in Turkey when you criticized the president, because a lot of people still don't know a lot of the details. So just explain a little bit about what happened.
It all happened back in 2013. There was a corruption scandal happened.
Mm-hmm.
President Erdogan and his family was involved in it. And I remember the first time, I said something about it. And obviously, because of the NBA platform, it became viral here in the United States and in Turkey. And obviously, after that, I started to pay attention about what's going on more and more every day. And I remember, my teammates were just going out and hanging out and all that stuff. I was going back home to study mm-hmm. about Middle East, study about the relationship between America and Turkey and stuff. But to me, it was very, very important to be the voice of people over there. And, obviously the things that I talk about affected me and my family. My dad was a genetic professor. He got fired from his job. My sister went to medical school for 6 years. She still cannot find a job. My little mm-hmm. brother was playing basketball. He got kicked out on every team. They were getting affected so much, they had to put a statement out there and saying, we are disowning Enes. After that, it was a bit rough. I remember right. going to a practice that day. It was definitely one of the hardest days in my life. And, obviously after that, Turkish government didn't believe that. They sent police to my house in Turkey and they raided the whole house and they took every electronics away, phones, mm. computers, laptops, because they wanted to see if I was in contact with my family or not. And, if they were to see one evidence, they will be all in jail, which they already took my dad in jail for a while. But we put so much pressure from here to Turkey, they let him go.
And so that, people... when they saw you so happy, to now be an American citizen, it's good for them to understand the background as to exactly why and what you came from.
Exactly.
So for months, you have stood pretty much unafraid to criticize the Chinese government for its many human rights violations, whether it's their treatment of the Tibetans, the people of Hong Kong, the Uyghurs, you know. And it's interesting with the Uyghurs because they have, you know, been reportedly by numerous fact-tested, fact-verified reports, including Amnesty International, to have been subjected to concentration camps, torture, you know, attempts to really erase their entire culture. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that with all of our viewers?
I remember doing a basketball camp this summer, and I was signing, you know, autographs for kids. And while I was signing, one of the parents turned around and said, "How can you call yourself a human rights activist when your Muslim brothers and sisters are in pretty much a genocide in China, and you're still, you know, using your platform and focusing on only one region?" And I was shocked. You know, I turned around to that parent. I was like, "You know, I'm gonna get back to you, I promise." And I started to, you know, learn about how China, using their power to abuse many countries around, you know, like Tibetans, even Mongolians, Taiwanese people, Hong Kongers, and Uyghurs and stuff. And what they were going through definitely broke my heart, you know. But I was like, I'm not just going to watch YouTube clips and decide which side is right or wrong. I actually wanted to sit down and have some conversation with some of the survivors, you know. So I sit down with some of the survivors, you know, concentration camp survivors, and start to talk about what they're going through. And it was, my heart just shattered. I remember, you know, talking to this woman, and she was telling me about how she got, you know, gang raped every day, and she was getting tortured, and she was just not the one. There are millions of people. And I was like, I cannot just, you know, remain as silent. I have to do something about this.
Right. So now you've been making the media rounds the past few days. You've been very busy since you became an American citizen. And again, congratulations on that. And, you know, but I want to have a little bit of a different type of discussion with you today than the ones that I've seen, a little bit different than your other interviews, if that's okay. So your appearance on Tucker Carlson has garnered a strong response. And, you know, Jemele Hill wrote an article on you in The Atlantic. Dave Zirin wrote one in The Nation. Candace Buckner of The Washington Post, you know, Stephen Knox from Deadspin, you know, Rick Strom did a whole segment from The Young Turks. I can go on and on. And it was really centered around this one interview you did with Tucker Carlson. Did you read some of the articles and some of the coverage? I know you've been moving around, so I don't know if you got a chance to read everything. Did you want to respond to it?
So, oh, yeah, of course. I did see it for sure. You know, I even sit down with some of my teammates and have a conversation about it. Well, let me just explain this to you. You know, I was even actually talking to one of my teammates about it. We sit down and he asked me about the segment that I have done and what I said. And what I told him was, I was like, listen, obviously there are human rights violations are happening, not just in Turkey, not just in China, but all over the world. And obviously America has her own problems too, yes. But where I'm coming from, right, where I'm coming from, Middle East, especially Turkey, you know, just because of your outspoken, they put your dad in jail and pretty much torture.
Right.
Just because of your outspoken, you know, I haven't seen my family since 2015 and haven't even talked to them years. You know, where I'm coming from, just because of you like somebody's Twitter post or Facebook post that person is, you know, criticizing the government, you could be in jail. So what I try to meant in that segment was, obviously America has their own problems, everybody knows that, but people should feel very lucky and blessed to be in this situation, you know, because, you know, if you go overseas, especially where I grew up, or Middle East, some of the countries like Iran, Iraq, North Korea, you know, this country, Venezuela, Belarus, I can go on and on. You know, it just, trust me, you do not want to associate with any of these governments over there because it's just brutal dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
So what I meant was, I mean, at least in America, you have checks and balances. You have rules and laws. And obviously, there are some problems that are happening here. Yes, I'm not denying it. I am recognizing there are problems that are happening in America. But people should feel lucky because they have freedom of speech, religion, and expression, and there is democracy.
And I think that part was okay. And I think that people definitely understood that part. But we know Tucker Carlson. And I think that was, we saw the underlying objective that he had in the interview that I believe, me personally, was kind of unbeknownst to you. You know, Jemele Hill said, you know, Enes Freedom is showing the danger of attracting the wrong kind of supporters. Dave Zirin said, you know, Tucker looked like a rosy, cheat, spoiled child under the Christmas tree. For him having Enes attack powerful, outspoken Black people must feel like getting the gift topping his list for Santa. So, you know, Rick Strom said Tucker Carlson framed the entire segment to go against Black athletes speaking out. Now, my reaction when I heard it was that I don't think that you meant what Tucker Carlson kind of guided you into saying. And I tweeted that. And a lot of people disagreed with me. But I wanted to really speak to you to have you clarify what you said. And this is the reason why, because I sat down with you 2 years ago, right before COVID. We had a great discussion. You know, the interview didn't get to come out because then COVID happened and everything was in disarray.
Yeah.
But if you remember, I had my daughter Imani with me and she was watching you. I signed a autograph, my book, We Matter, Athletes and Activism for you. And you took a picture with my daughter. And listen, she had so many questions after listening to the interview, and she researched Turkey and she researched the government and how, you know, did a whole paper about it. So you really had a strong impact on her from that interview.
Mm-hmm.
But we were actually watching the protests last summer, me and my daughter Imani, after the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and we saw you. And she pointed you out. She's like, hey, that's who you interviewed. That's in his cancer. And, you know, we saw you addressing the crowd at a Black Lives Matter rally. I believe you was in Boston. And, you know, you talked about how change needs to happen now and we can't, you know, wait for change. I'm paraphrasing, but something to that effect.
Exactly.
So I didn't jump on the bandwagon of having the reaction that a lot of other people had because I spoke to you. So I wanted you I wanted to talk to you directly and let's kind of walk through what happened with Tucker Carlson, what you mean, what you felt, what you know what I mean? Everything like that. If that's okay with you.
I remember, you know, when first time it was, you know, Black Lives Matter protests were happening.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Chicago. And when I heard that, you know, for the first time, we drove with my manager over 10 whatever hours to Boston because I wanted to be with my city during those, mm-hmm. you know, times and, you know, protested peacefully with my city. And if you look at, I'm not saying it to brag myself, but I was the third one in a whole league to went out there and protested, you know, mm-hmm. because yes, of course, I 100% believe Black Lives Matter and stuff. But, you know, it was what happened obviously 2 years ago was my heart just shattered, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember even during the bubble, that was one of our biggest goals to get together and try to, you know, bring, first of all, awareness of what's going on. And second, educate the young generation, you know, because we are facing so many problems right now. If we can educate our young generation, we are not going to have the problems that we are facing right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I sit down with so many, you know, my teammates, you know, like Jaylen Brown, Tucker Fall, and many other athletes to, you know, come together and brainstorm about what we can do to bring, mm-hmm. you know, more awareness. How can we use our platform to educate people, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, people, or I say this from in the beginning, I don't have a side. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. Whenever I do some kind of work in a Congress, you know, whenever I put a bill out there about political prisoners in Turkey, or whenever I put a bill out there in all the human rights violations that are happening in the Middle East, obviously I have to work with both sides, you know? And I was even explaining this to one of my teammates. I'm like, listen, I understand you guys are seeing me out there with so many, you know, different kind of people, picture of me with, you know, obviously they love to take a picture and stuff. Right. But you guys need to understand, I do a lot of work for those people to free all those political prisoners in prison right now who are getting tortured and raped. Because the stronger the bill is, the more effective it's going to be. You know,
okay.
So I do work with a lot of people, both sides. And I every time when I talk to people, I say, listen, I hate politics. I don't do politics. I do human rights. There's a there's a big difference between, you know, two lines. To me, I don't care about the politics side, because I mean, obviously America is having so much problem right now. One side is attacking the one side, other side is attacking the other side. But the main goal should be, how can we make this country better together? But what I'm doing is, what can I do to help those people over there? So that's why I work with both sides.
And I understand that. And that's definitely a good point. I think that, again, you know, that we know Tucker Carlson and we know Fox News, and they have an agenda. And that agenda was very apparent during your interview. Now, you were on a different tip. You said that you were happy for, you know, being an American. You talked about everything you just said now, how it is in Turkey and how you can't. You told the story of talking to your teammate who was criticizing the president. You said, hey, you can't do that. You're about to, you're going to be put in jail. So you, but Tucker knew where you were coming from, but he kind of wanted to use that to get you to join their chorus of bashing black athletes in particular. And he used a lot of very distinct language in what he was saying. And I'm looking at you, I'm like, I don't know if he sees what Tucker is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's the problem with when you go on their programs, you have to know what their agendas are. And it seemed like what he was trying to pull out of you and try to lead you is to say, you know, you're so grateful to be here. You're so thankful to be here. Those other black athletes, they're not thankful. They're not grateful. And you were just in your element of saying, yes, I'm happy to be here. Yes, I'm happy. But then he used that to try to have a side swipe, which is what their normal agenda is to attack the ungrateful black athlete that's speaking out against, you know, police brutality or things of that nature.
Well, whenever I talk about it was never about black or white athletes or red or purple athletes. It was never about a color, you know? Sure. And I even, you know, have a conversation with many of my teammates. And the thing is, people don't understand is many of the black athletes are in the league are reaching out to me and telling me they are the one telling me to call out this people, that people. Not many people knows about that. Okay. They are the one telling me to call out the hypocrisy of LeBron James or the hypocrisy of Michael Jordan. So they are the one. Not many people know this, but they are the one actually sending me talking points about, you know, just you can't say this and you can't say that. Because I remember having one conversation with one of them. He's like, listen, these teams got us. We cannot talk, but you're talking and you're already out there, you know, so might as well talk about this. Might as well just say this and say that. And I don't follow them blindly. I actually do research first.
Okay.
And very, very deep research. And if I believe it, you know, I go out there and say. So not many people knows about it, but, you know, many of the black athletes are in the league, are the one reaching out to me and saying, you should be talking about this and that.
And I think, and I understand that. And there was one part in particular that you said during the interview that raised a lot of eyebrows. And I want you to clarify this part if you could. You said, you started off by saying people should feel really blessed to and lucky to be in America. And they love to criticize it. But when you live in a country like Turkey or China or somewhere else, you will appreciate the freedoms that you have here. And I get that because, you know, like what you said, Turkey, you get put in jail for criticizing the president, right? But then you went a little bit further and you went on to say that they should just keep their mouth shut and stop criticizing the greatest nation in the world. And they should focus on their freedoms and their human rights and democracy. And Tucker Carlson was actually smiling while you said it because he knew that he got you to say what he was trying to say, what he was trying to get you to say, and what falls into their narrative. Now, I don't believe, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that you meant for athletes to shut up and dribble, which is typically because that is what Tucker Carlson was leading to.
Let me just make it very clear. Obviously, you know, I suffer freedom. And I would never, ever tell an athlete, or not just an athlete, a human being, or a celebrity to not use their platform. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the greatest thing we have is freedom of speech. Another thing, the amazing thing we have is the platform. And what I have been talking about is how can we use our platform to educate people? You know, So to me, that was very important. And what I meant, I actually, like, you know, said this to my teammate. I was like, what I meant by it is obviously, you know, where I'm coming from, Turkey is a brutal dictatorship. You know, we have no freedom of speech, religion, no expression. We have no democracy. You know, Turkey could have been a bridge of Islam and West, but just because of all this stuff happened, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. So what I meant by it is people should feel lucky and blessed to be in this situation. And obviously, there are many issues are happening in America, and I'm definitely not denying it. I recognize many of it, and racism is definitely at top of the list.
Right.
But what I meant by it is people should feel lucky. And I mean, at least they're not in a country like Turkey, Syria, North Korea, Venezuela, Belarus, and many other countries. So thank you for asking that, because I wanted to make that very, very clear.
Right. And that's what I tweeted out. I was like, exactly. No, I don't think that he means what you're thinking that he meant.
If I say that, it will go against everything I ever stand for. So agreed. I would never, ever tell, I'm not talking about an athlete, but a person, human being, to shut up and don't talk about this or don't criticize that. I mean,
yes.
The problem is going to solve first, starting with recognizing the problem, and then after that, talking about it and criticizing it and trying to find a solution. So I would never tell a person to shut up and not say a word.
Great. I'm glad you clarified that, because Fox News, they're trying to twist your words. But that's why you have to be very careful of when you go on their programs. That's why you have to be careful to make sure. I mean, and it was so obvious what Tucker Carlson was trying to do. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it is kind of freedom is trying to do the same thing. And that's why everybody reacted so strongly. So, all right. So I want to ask you about LeBron and not the back and forth. Like, I've seen some interviews that you've done and people have been like, oh, so he said that he didn't see you first. And you said, so what do you say to that? I'm not interested in no back. That's the, you know, the media doing that. I want to ask you about working with him under a common goal, and if that's what you want to do, because that's what I interpret your overall goal as to being, not personal attack, not like you got beef with LeBron, but that you want him to utilize his voice and his platform, much in the same way that Craig Hodges wanted Michael Jordan to utilize his voice and his platform. Again, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. So let me start with this. And obviously, LeBron has the biggest platform of us all, you know? And it really broke my heart when he obviously couldn't say anything 2 years ago when Daryl Morey tweeted something about it. But obviously, first of all, it did really broke my heart. And then after that, you know, obviously, I have nothing against or personally against LeBron. And obviously, I do recognize that he's definitely one of the maybe, you know, best player that ever played a game, you know, maybe top three. I will put him in my top three, you know? So on the court, obviously, he's a nightmare. But it, to me, what, and this is not just about LeBron, it's about all those people who are making profit and money out of it. And so the resources are there and people know what's going on. And I feel like before these athletes, you know, it could be not just LeBron, but Cristiano Ronaldo. It could be this, that, right? These big athletes are, before they put their signature on a paper, they should research about what kind of companies that they are signing with.
Okay.
And obviously, Nike is the biggest sponsor of NBA, right? When I research, obviously, I already knew about that a little bit, but when I research more and more about the slave labor, you know, the sweatshops and how Nike is pretty much using modern day slavery over there in China. And I just couldn't believe it. I was ashamed of myself, which that I wore Nike the last whatever years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have to bring it light. I understand it's the biggest sponsor of NBA or whatever, but I have to stand up for what is right. You know, because I did met with so many concentration camp survivors and I heard it from the first hand how they were getting treated in the slave labors, you know?
Okay.
And I was like, when I see these athletes that don't care maybe about what is going on, how they're, you know, they're making millions and maybe billions of dollars of profit from this slave labs and sweatshops, it does break my heart, you know?
Okay.
So I feel like you have the oldest athletes or whoever watching young athletes are, before you put your signature on a paper, just research about what's going on, because it could affect a lot.
So I'm with you on that, and I definitely understand. But going back specifically to LeBron, because he's the one who a lot of your attention is directed towards as far as calling out. Would you, what is the end goal? Do you want to work with him to be able to?
The end goal should be definitely to sit down and work with him and just understand about what's going on. You know,
okay.
I think the main goal should be not just like calling him out or troll this and that. The important thing is, how can we find a solutions? Because I reached out, when I called out LeBron, right? The next 4 or 5 games that I had, many of the athletes that I actually shared the court with, that I play against, came up to me and said, thank you for calling him out.
Okay.
Many of his ex-teammates came up to me and said, thank you, because we know that all LeBron is doing is for his own PR. That's not what I'm saying. That's exactly what LeBron's ex-teammates said. And I did not make any comment when they said that. I was like, okay. You know, but my main goal is, how can I sit down and have a conversation with him to maybe educate him, or he can educate me about what's going on over there? What can we do to these companies to hold them accountable? Because these companies, like Nike, right, they stand with Black Lives Matter in America. They stand with no Asian hate. They stand with Latino community. They stand with LGBTQ community. But when it comes to China, obviously they're making billions of dollars. They remain silent, and they're using pretty much modern day slavery over there. But that definitely breaks my heart. And I was like, what can I do? And LeBron is not the only one. You know, I remember talking to my teammates. It's like, no, I told them, it's like, LeBron is not the only one. There are so many other athletes, and I am going to talk about it, but I'm just not done with my research yet.
You know,
so this is not about color. This is not about a player. I'm not against anyone. I'm against the people who are, you know, is not educated enough to put their signatures on a paper.
Now, from the outside looking in, it does look a little bit targeted towards LeBron. I mean, I'm sure you can see why it looks a little bit personal.
That's not it.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you clarified that. But also, you do understand that is a lot of the reason why the Fox News, you'll be invited to Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham. You know, I'm sure Jason Whitlock will tap dance over to you and Candace Owens, because they like to hear anyone criticize LeBron because of the fact that they don't like that he stands up for Black rights, for against police brutality, that he criticizes Trump. So just knowing that that's their agenda, that's really their reasoning for
it. Let me tell you something. While LeBron is standing up for, I am with him.
Right.
Listen, when 2 years ago Black Lives Matter happened, what LeBron was saying, and not just him, but many other athletes were saying, I was with him.
Right.
I remember we had a meeting in a bubble with our team, Celtics. And we're talking about, obviously, kneeling. And many of my teammates said, listen, man, like, you're about to get your citizenship. Do not kneel. Don't kneel. Because back then, Trump was in office. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, this is what I believe. This is what I stand for. And I will be kneeling with you guys. Because, yes, there are so many issues that are happening here in America. And I do want to protest it with you guys. You know? Because this is not about you or me. This is about us. And I know, I understand back then I wasn't a citizen, but I still live in this country. So, what obviously LeBron stands for about, you know, Black Lives Matter and what police brutality and all that stuff. Yes, I do stand with him. And there's not one person in the world can say that the other way, because, I mean, you guys can check my social medias, can see me attending a protest, can see my op-eds, interviews, everything.
And I agree. And that's why people reacted the way they reacted. Like, whoa, what is this that Fox News is doing? It is cancer freedom. So I'm glad that you clarified that. Now, I just want to say, and then I'll make a quick point because I know you have to go. And I appreciate you taking the time to sit with me. And I want to talk about the way in which they're framing it. Because what you just said just now, I mean, they're not going to run that on Fox News. But what you just said just now, you said that you want to be able to educate LeBron, and you said you want him to be able to educate you. That's not how they ran the clip. And I'll show you that the clips was, I'd love to sit down and talk with James. I'm sure it's going to be a very uncomfortable conversation for him. I don't know if he's going to want that. Then they said, they show where you said, I don't know if he's educated enough, but I'm here to educate him and I'm here to help him. Because it's not all about money. And so that, if you leave the quote like that, that sounds very condescending, very insulting. And that's you know, the phrase, if you want to try to get somebody on the page to work with you, I question if that's the way to do it.
For sure. I mean, people can stretch my words anywhere they can. You know, I cannot, obviously, the media in America is wild. Mm-hmm. And you say something, especially it happens a lot in sports media. You say something and they stretch it to somewhere else that you did not mean at all.
Right.
What I meant, well, let me just make it very clear. What I meant by it is, you know, I need to be educated too. That's why, you know, I sit down with Jaylen Brown so much and sit down and have a conversation with him about what Black people went through throughout the years. Because I don't know enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And he actually sits down right next to me in the plane. And me and him talk hours and hours about the history, what you know, Black people went through, what is the real meaning of Black Lives Matter, what's their goal. And he has been educating me the last, you know, since the beginning of the season. So, yes, and I am not, I just became a citizen. I did not grow up in this country, you know? I knew that there was obviously a problem of racism, brutality, and many other issues. But obviously, I came here when I was 17 years old, so I did not grow up in this. But when I sit down with educated people like Jaylen Brown or some of the other athletes, I'm learning a lot. At the same time, you know, I want to educate people too. Because obviously, what's happening in China, it's not even comparable to anything. There's a genocide happening. There are over 2 million people in concentration camps right now, you know, waiting for help. And they get gang raped, they get tortured. And obviously, and no one can say it another way, people are scared to talk against China. Mm-hmm. And they're paying the bills, there are a lot of business involved, a lot of companies are scared to say something and stuff. A lot of, not just players, but like, actors, rappers, singers, just scared to say anything. It doesn't matter what your color is. You know, people are just scared, period. You know?
Right.
But obviously it goes both ways. I want to be educated, well, which I have been trying to do my whole beginning of the season with Jaylen, but also I want to educate you because this is real.
Yes, I definitely understand. And I think that's great of the two-way education. And it's, you know, it's tough when you go on those shows and you have to say something really quick. You know what I mean? And you have a short amount of time and you don't get a chance to explain everything. But yes, the two-way education about everything that's going on in this country, everything that's going on with the police. I mean, from Breonna Taylor, Tatiana Jefferson, yeah. You know, Terrence Crutcher, you know, George Floyd. We could go down the entire list. And those are really human rights violations. They're murdering and not. Yes.
I remember, you know, especially during the bubble, what NBA did was unbelievable. You know, they put the Black Lives Matter on the court. They put all the, you know, the phrases on our back.
Right.
And we did not care about basketball. We cared about how can we educate the world? Because obviously during the bubble, the whole eyes of the world will be on us. All right. The microphones was going to be on our face, you know?
Right.
So, like, to me, that bubble was that 82 days that I stayed for was amazing because all I did was just learn. You know, I did not know, obviously, I didn't know that it was the racism was the one of the biggest problems that America had. Mm-hmm. But the more I researched, more I learned, the more I studied, I was like, this is unbelievable, you know?
Right. Right.
So, like, yes, there are so many problems that are happening. I'm not denying it. I do recognize it. Yes.
Okay.
But like I said again, the education should be both ways.
And let me just leave you with this. You have the opportunity to do something really special. And I want to make sure that you see the opportunity that you have. You know, I have a new book coming out in January.
It's called Police Brutality and White Supremacy: The Fight Against American Traditions.
And Fred Hampton Jr. Did the foreword for me. I don't know if you know who Fred Hampton Jr. is, but ironically, 52 years ago today, like we're doing this interview today on December 4th, December 4th, 1969, chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton, was assassinated by Chicago police in the middle of the night. You know, he was sleeping next to his pregnant fiance, and they literally assassinated him. One of the things that they were afraid of was that he was bringing people together for a common cause. He was bringing the Young Patriots, the Young Lords, and this is all stuff you can look up, and the Black Panthers all together to fight against a common cause. So when I see what you have the ability to do, and I see the way that you are calling out LeBron, I think there's an opportunity to, if you can get on the same page as LeBron, you know, to bring him to join your cause. And I understand, I don't want to say shaming someone into joining your cause, but there's a different way. You know, like you can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, like the old saying that my grandmother used to say. So bringing him in, and and now that you've gone on these right-wing shows, you could challenge them to also join you. To go beyond the fact that they just want to bring you on so you can criticize Black athletes and twist your words to criticize LeBron, but actually join you in your cause. And that's something that's really special. So I just wanted to leave you with that.
That's actually the main goal. You know, I remember, you know, having a conversation with some of my assistant coaches and some of my friends. I was like, I even told them, it was like, my main goal is like never pick someone and attack him personally or anything like that. My main goal is, what can I do to bring those athletes in my side? And I'm already in their side. You know, what can I do to bring their athletes to my side and make them join my cause? Because my voice by myself is strong, but with their help, it's gonna become even stronger.
Exactly.
People are gonna know about what's going on over there. Not just in China, but all over the world, more and more, you know. So I'm already with them. Okay. I'm already in their cause. I already, you know, recognize. I already kneel with them. I already, like, they're already my brothers, you know.
Right. Gotcha.
So, like you said, you're 100% right. What can I do to make them join my cause now? So.
Great. Well, good luck to you. Much respect to you. I'm glad that you came on and cleared up a lot of that.
Oh, no, I'm glad you asked me those questions because I saw some of the you know, op-eds, some of the interviews, some of the comments were like, people were really like, didn't, I guess, understand what I was trying to say. And
right.
I don't judge them because obviously some of the words that I use, could be very like twisted or stretched, but what right. I meant by shut up means like feel blessed. Mm-hmm. And obviously I do recognize many of the, you know, there are so many problems that are happening here, right. which is, you know, at least it's not Turkey or North Korea.
I got you. So, all right, well, I'm going to let you go on to practice. Much respect to you. Good luck on the road. Keep doing your thing, all right?
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, bless.
Thank you for listening to The Rematch. You can find more episodes on basketballnews.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. You can also find my articles on basketballnews.com, along with exclusive content from Kenyon Martin, James Posey, and more. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at AtonThomas36. Let me know what you thought of this episode and who you'd like to see as a guest. I would love your feedback.